You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We learned yesterday, I mentioned it on the way out, I think, that we are, as of February, officially in a recession. We learned that fact from the Business Cycle Dating Committee of the National Bureau of Economic Research. Now, why do we need a committee to tell us we're in a recession? And assuming we do need a committee, that is, why that committee in particular? Who decided that they get to decide? We asked Marketplace's Sabri Benishore to look into that one.
We don't need a committee to tell us if it's raining, so why do we need one to tell us if we're in a recession?
The definition of a recession is kind of qualitative.
Ben Herzon is an executive director at IHS Market. There are a bunch of criteria for recession. Sustained economic contraction spread across the economy for more than a few months. This time, what with the pandemic, it was pretty obvious, but sometimes it's really not.
There's a lot of judgment involved.
So who should make that judgment call? I mean, I guess the government could. James Stock teaches economics at Harvard.
But if you just think for a minute about the conflict of interest that that poses, that just doesn't seem like a very good choice.
So why not have the folks who pretty much came up with the whole idea of studying business cycles in the first place do it? That would be the National Bureau of Economic Research, founded 100 years ago.
That research program back in the 1920s and 1930s established the concepts of recessions and expansions and business cycles.
Now, you may have noticed that it is June now. It feels like the committee took its sweet time to announce a recession that started in February. But that's actually quick for the NBER. Jeremy Piger is a professor of economics at the University of Oregon.
Clearly, saying that a recession started, say, a year ago, which is what they did with the 2008 recession, is not super useful from a policy perspective.
Like the Fed is going to wait for months to do anything. But it does provide a record for people who study literally the guts of how the economy works.
You can think of that as being useful for everywhere from, for you know, like a high school textbook, all the way up to sort of cutting edge economic research.
You might not need a doctor to tell you you're sick, but you sure would like to figure out what you had. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Recession or not, there's a whole lot we don't know about what this economy is going to look like after the pandemic tops out. But a lot of industries are already working on it. The last couple of days have brought some reporting that the whole business model for giant oil drilling companies is being rethought. Marketplace's Scott Song reports that some of the big questions are about support from investors and consumer demand once things are closer to normal.
In the oil biz, IOC stands for International Oil Company, and it's the O, oil, that's been under threat as climate change policies kick in. Economist Mark Finley is a fellow at Rice University.
But I think also we're seeing that the broader forces of deglobalization, which is also accelerated by the COVID-19 crisis, may be putting the I under threat as well.
That means less international business, less shipping, less flying, given recent trade wars and travel bans. And all that means, of course, less burning of oil. In an interview today, the CEO of Shell says he does not expect world demand to come back soon. And Ryan Lance, the CEO of ConocoPhillips, told IHS Market in an interview that U.S. production of crude may never return to its pre-pandemic peak.
I would probably, if I was a betting man today, it would be pretty difficult for us to return to 13 million barrels a day.
A lot of cranky oil and gas investors might agree. Fossil fuels have been the market's worst performer for years. Researcher Mark Lewis at BNP Paribas Asset Management says renewable energy stocks fetch double the prices of oil shares.
And if investors are telling you that they want to see more renewables investments rather than oil investments, you know, the writing is on the wall.
Many oil companies are moving to more environmentally friendly kinds of energy, like natural gas and wind. Still, Mark Finley at Rice says we need to be humble calling a turning point.
For everyone in New York or San Francisco who wants to sit at home and work from home, there's somebody in the emerging world who aspires to own a car.
Oil executives know that. But for now, several are signaling that their longtime business model is changing. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.